Amen. Peace of the Lord be with you. It is my great honor and privilege this morning, on this day in human history, November 9th of the year 2011 of our Lord Jesus Christ, to introduce to you our chapel speaker. He is many things. He is a senior at Hope College from Zeeland, Michigan. He is a coach of 7th grade girls basketball team. He is an I Am champion and a multiple Final Four participant in the I Am organization. He is a grandson, a son, a brother. He is a friend. He is a student and an emerging scholar. But above all, he is a new creation in Jesus Christ. And he is here this morning to offer his first sermon in the history of creation. Would you please give a warm Hope College welcome to our own Joel Jojo Borsma.
All right, let me pray.
Let me pray for the brother. Lord, may your word be a lamp unto our feet. And may you use your servant Joel to give light to us that we might walk into your expansive kingdom. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And everyone said, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Trigvi. Wow, what a view. Good morning, good morning, good people of Hope. It is a privilege to be up here. Before I start, I just have to say that I love Hope College. I love Hope College. And Hope has been a major part of my life before I even came into existence. And how many of you had a choice of where you were going to go to college? How many of you had a choice? Yeah? Well, guess what? I didn't. My application form was filled out before I was even born. I was destined to come to Hope. I just had to get that out of the way before I go on with my sermon here. All joking aside, I'm humbled and grateful to be here with you all. Again, for those of you who do not know me, I am Joel Borsma. I'm a political science major, philosophy minor. And though I mentioned my fields of study first, I confess to you that they have not always been my first priority. I came to Hope, actually, not having much of a clue what I was going to pursue academically. I knew that I wanted to live in the DERF. I wanted to be in the Do Crew. I wanted to play a lot of intramurals. And I wanted to stay up till 3 a.m. goofing around with buddies because I couldn't do that in the Borsma household at home. Okay? So, and we all know that at the second semester of your sophomore year, you are required to declare majors. So it got to that point when I finally pulled the trigger on political science. So now that this is my senior year, the spring, I'll be heading to DC to finish up my Hope career and my poli-sci major. And there's no doubt in my mind that there'll be a lot going on there with all the elections, the presidential candidates. There's a lot of history, obviously, in DC. And there's just a lot of action going on there. Personally, I'll be interning with a congressman, and so I'll be viewing firsthand politicians elected from all over the country to represent their local communities. Now, this notion of a representative is critical to the way in which our governing system functions. Embedded in the word representative, of course, is represent. And so let me take that idea now and see if I can put it in a fuller, richer, more meaningful context. So if you have your Bibles with you, and if you don't, of course, they're right in front of you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting at verse 17. Hear the word of the Lord from the Apostle Paul. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And all this is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has entrusted us with a message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. And we implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, the Apostle Paul in this text is challenging the church in Corinth to think about what it means to represent Jesus Christ in the pluralistic culture they lived in. He encourages them to pursue this in three ways. And I want you to help me remember them. Here they are. The first one is, we are made new in Christ. We have been entrusted with the message of Christ, and therefore we are ambassadors for Christ. Okay? Say them with me. We are made new in Christ. We have been entrusted with the message of Christ, and we are ambassadors for Christ. Pretty good. Okay. So, let's take a minute to quick unpack those thoughts from the Apostle Paul. Here's the first thing, that we are made new in Christ. Paul says it clearly. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. So what does this actually mean to be new in Christ? Well, C.S. Lewis, in his book, Mere Christianity, might help us answer this. Listen to what Lewis says. And let me make it quite clear that when Christians say that Christ's life is in them, they do not mean simply something mental or moral. When they speak of being in Christ or of Christ being in them, this is not simply a way of saying that they are thinking about Christ or copying him. They mean that Christ is actually operating through them, that the whole mass of Christians are the physical organism through which Christ acts. And we are his fingers and muscles, the cells of his body. Okay, so which is to say that to be in Christ means that Christ actually uses us and works through us. The Apostle Paul goes on in verses 19 and 20 to tell us the remaining two primary ways that Christ works through us. Paul says that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has entrusted us this message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, since God is making his appeal through us. So the first way, or the second way now, is that the message of Christ has been entrusted to us. This means that Christ has put his confidence in us to proclaim the good news of the gospel. The second way, or the third way that we're trying to remember here, is that we are ambassadors for Christ. So let me ask, what does it mean to be an ambassador for Christ? When I was a kid, before I would leave for school every morning, my parents would say to me, "Jojo, remember who you are. You're a Borsma and a child of God." Every stinking day from my first day of kindergarten until even now, this is what my parents wanted me to take with me. Okay? And I have a hunch that what my parents were trying to instill in me, that I represented Christ, is precisely what the Apostle Paul was urging both the Corinthians to do and us to do even today. He's saying, remember who you are. Because of the person and work of Christ, because he has made us new, because he entrusts us with the good news of Christ, we therefore must invite others to new life in Christ as his ambassadors. Are you tracking with me here? As his ambassadors, which leads others to Christ, and it requires us to be seeking out the best for them. One of my good friends, Nate Harney, is a guy who always seems to have these great little one-liners, and he's never shy to ever drop them. I worked with Nate over on the shores of Lake Michigan at Camp Geneva for a summer, and Nate is a junior out at Moody Bible College in Washington State. And as we were talking one night, he said, "You know, Joel, as I've been thinking what this is all about, I think it comes down to this. If you aren't living for Jesus, you're living for yourself. If we aren't living for Christ, we're just living for ourselves." Eugene Peterson, and we don't have to look far to see what living for the self has had the implications for individuals and communities alike. Now we'll get to Eugene Peterson, a seasoned pastor author. He picks up this idea in his book, Eat This Book. He says this: "The blunt reality is that for all our sophistication, learning, and self-study, we don't know enough to run our own lives. The sorry state of the lives of the many who have taken their own experience as the text for their lives is a damning refutation of the pretensions of the sovereignty of the self." And he goes on to say, "We need to know the lay of the land that we are living in. We need to know what is involved in this country of the Trinity. It is the world of God's creation and salvation and blessing." So here's the key. Paul is calling us not to preserve our own sovereignty by promoting ourselves, but being new in Christ means giving up ourselves, representing him by looking to the interests of others through word and deed. Through word, the word we have been entrusted with, and deed, that we are ambassadors for Christ, and so the way we live might lead others to Christ. So what does this look like? As college students, we're trying to figure out a lot of things. We're trying to attend lectures and write papers. We're going to practice. We're leading Bible studies. We are forming new relationships and trying to figure out our futures. But in the midst of all this, here's my challenge for all of you. In everything, remember who you are. We are made new in Christ. We are entrusted with the message of Christ, and we are ambassadors for Christ. And here's the key. Paul states it clearly. All this is from God. It's not our own work. It's all by grace. And so let's constantly remind each other of that, whether it's on the court or in the classroom, eating in Phelps or in the Pine Grove, whether you're in Washington State, like my good friend Nate, or in Washington, D.C., like I'll be next spring, that we will represent Christ in word and in deed, giving thanks to God the Father through him. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, pray with me, please. Lord, may your word be our rule, your spirit our teacher, and the glory of Jesus our single concern. Lord, give us the strength and the wisdom to represent you in all that we do, thought, word, and deed. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Go in peace.